Joining us now from our headquarters in Washington, D.C. is Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Also at member station WFDD, we have Nat Irvin, professor of future studies at Wake Forest University, and Jeff Obafemi-Carr, host of the radio program Freestyle, is at Spotland Productions in Nashville, Tennessee. All right, folks, the fight continues, and even with the death of Mr. Williams, it seems as though we're going to see an escalated battle. We heard from Bruce Gordon suggesting that this is only a start for him in the fight against the inequities that we all have talked about for years and years as relates to the death penalty on many, many fronts. Let me start by asking the question of Mary Frances Berry. We know that often these cases have as much to do about the political ramifications as anything. Mary, how much do you believe the political ramifications of all that was surrounding this came into play as to whether or not we saw a stay of clemency?
Oh, I think did come into play. I think that Schwarzenegger decided not to give clemency because of his own political calculations about his base. I know there's been a lot of argument about maybe he would do it because he's been down in the polls and he might want to attract some people who are anti-death penalty. But I think he made a calculation. He also has not given clemency to anyone else, so he's being consistent on the death penalty. And in California politics, Dianne Feinstein, as I recall, has always been, you know, in favor of the death penalty. And she's a Democratic, you know, moderate to liberal senator. So that it depends on how you look at the polls and how it all plays out. And this is such a very high-profile case. But I was very pleased to hear Bruce Gordon say that he's going to be taking up this issue, because the real issue is not just Tukey Williams. The issue is all of those disparities in the system that people have written about and that I've written about, and that we should do something about. And unfortunately, despite what your guest said, there are many people who have been convicted, and we found out later, and have been put to death, and we found out later that they actually didn't do the crime.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Obafemi-Carr, let me ask you something that Dudley Sharp, the guest we heard prior to the roundtable here, suggested, and that is that perhaps Tukey Williams was the wrong poster child for this issue. How much do you buy into that?
Well, I don't think that you can judge who's a right and wrong poster child as long as you're asking the question, do we have a clear, fair, just standard for imposing the death penalty? And if you ask that question alone, if the answer is no, then you have to have a moratorium until we do have a fair, just standard for that. There are people who talk about, and the guest previous, Dudley Sharp, talked about the whole notion of picking, of having the right poster child for this issue, and they talk about anti-death. But I also think that this is a question of being pro-life. And if we're supporting life and justice, then we have to really examine this issue. And Tukey Williams has been accused of a lot. And when I hear people say that he's committed four murders at least, then that tells me that there's this whole psychological notion that he's this beast or murderer because he co-founded a gang, a street gang. And I think this is an issue of whether or not justice is being served in the system, not whether or not Tukey Williams was founder of a street gang or not. And that's what's being put out there. I heard a newscaster on Fox News last night, and he kept referring to Tukey Williams as this guy, which I thought was totally unprofessional, but this guy who founded the Crips and this guy wants clemency. And I said, I can't believe the psychological warfare that takes place on the other side that allows us to look at a person like Tukey Williams and just say, well, hey, we need to put people to death and not examine the system.
Nat Irvin, the interesting point to all of this that I saw were kind of the peripheral issues. The question of cause celeb here. We saw Tukey Williams, a high-profile person on death row. Some saw him as even glamorous, and it does raise the question of whether it gets in the way of the core issues of inequities, and also the wink and nods that many of us in the black community, quite frankly, saw and heard as the media talked about the execution and the death of this man, almost to say, again, wink and a nod, we know the big black guy should be put to death.
Well, yeah, that's part of the difficulty when all of the Hollywood types start to gather around and make a case for one person or another, you quickly lose perspective on, one, the victims, the people who Mr. Williams was convicted of having murdered in cold blood. You lose that perspective. And the other thing we tend to lose also is the implications for, let me just go to the whole matter of redemption, for example. We have a lot of slogans, but we don't really, I don't think, ever get to really talking about the real difficulty of trying to establish, you know, whether or not, for example, the matter of redemption. Is it true that you can actually know whether a person has been redeemed? I know that I felt in this case, and I am one who generally supports the death penalty, but I struggle with it. But I, in this case, I was not convinced of the redemption of Mr. Williams. Maybe perhaps I might have been had there not been so much Hollywood celebs coming to his defense. I think the idea of redemption is a very personal thing. But I don't know how it is that you put it into law. I don't know how it is that you decide that a person's heart has changed. I think I understand it on a personal basis, but how can I convince the law that it should be changed and that a person should now, who was convicted and who all the courts said, committed the crime, should not pay the ultimate penalty? I found it difficult, but it's made worse when we make these cases to be both left and right, to be more of a celebrity thing,
and much more of a reflection
of philosophy.
Mary, as you've noted, you've worked with this for quite some time, this issue, particularly during your days at the Justice Department, the Civil Rights Division there. I'm curious, often I keep hearing about the victims. One, can you have this conversation without always juxtaposing it? Because I don't think that there's anyone in their right mind who would suggest that you ever want to forget the victims, forget their lives, forget the death of them, etc. But with also leaving ground for the redemptive nature that we all hope people who have gone astray can find.
Well, redemption, yes, and we want to hold that out, and we don't disturb the victims if we believe in redemption. But there's another point. The victims aren't well served either if we execute people knowing what we know about whether the system is correct and whether we've gotten the right person. That's not serving the victims. It may appear to serve them, but it doesn't really serve them. And also, when we ask, why are we, in fact, executing this person? Are we doing it for retribution? Retribution implies that you think it's either going to keep other people from committing crimes, and studies have shown for years that it doesn't. And if they, in fact, have been redeemed, there's no question of retribution there. And we should put, you know, everybody who's been redeemed, if we could figure that out. And I think that Nat is right. It's hard to figure that out. So we're not serving the victims so much by putting someone to death under the circumstances under which we do it in this country now.
All right. Let me turn our attention very quickly to something that perhaps outside of the Tookie Williams circus, if you will, yesterday, this would have received a larger headline, and that is President Bush had an off-the-cuff, unscripted press moment yesterday, and he was asked how many people had, in fact, lost their lives, Iraqis, in the war, and he quoted 30,000 Iraqi citizens. This is the first time that the president has discussed that number publicly, the casualty count in Iraq, and suggested that American lives have been about 2,100 lost. Jeff Obafemi-Carr, did this surprise you at all?
Well, no, it didn't surprise me at all. What surprised me was the way that it was treated, with just kind of a flippancy that it was just a number that was thrown out. We've lost about 30,000, give or take a 1,000 here or 1,000 there. And it's particularly relevant, and I'm glad you brought it up on this roundtable, because we're discussing the death penalty in one person's life and the impact that that one person's life has had on many since then. Going back to that, you know, a tree by the fruit it bears, and that's how you judge redemption and how people give things back. But in this case, you have 30,000 lives, and we can detach from that because we see them over there and we see numbers on a page. But we're talking about 30,000 individuals, people who are husbands, people who are wives, people who are children of people who individually have generations of history behind them. We're talking about 30,000 people who were killed in a conflict that was unnecessary. And I think that it calls for our country to meditate on that number and really examine ourselves and the flippancy with which we call out these numbers and not have any care or concern about the deaths there.
But, Jeff, I don't think that's the way, and it's going to be used. I think that the way this is going to be used is part of Mr. Bush's new offensive to justify what happened and to help get his poll numbers up and get more support. I think the way it's going to be used in subsequent speeches is not only have we lost 21,000 and growing, but the Iraqis have sacrificed 30,000 of their
2,100
people.
We lost.
In the cause, 2,100, is that what I said? In the cause of justice and in the cause of democracy, which is why we need to stay and why we need to keep working, because we can't pull out with all those people willing to sacrifice their lives, although there's no evidence that they were willing to sacrifice their lives. So instead of using it as something that says, boy, we should really think about why we're there, I think it will be used as further evidence that we should stay there until, you know, victory is won, whenever that is.
Nat, we should note, before you pick up on that, if I may, that the White House later suggested that figure was not an official U.S. tally, but it was based on media reports, independent groups, etc., and also there are surveys that the media has used that are based on Red Cross accounts and other sources. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I was just simply going to say that, following Mary's point, that this is part of the Bush's Cold War starting to thaw with America. You know, for the first time in a very long time, this president actually took questions from an audience with unscripted questions. Can you imagine that in a free democracy, that the president actually faced the people? But, you know, there are two things going on. This is, as I said, the thawing of Bush's relationship with his own, with our own Americans. But there was the assumption that the number would be much higher. For example, some earlier media reports had the number at 100,000. Nobody was ever able to confirm that. But now then we still, but 30,000 is a very large number. And in comparison to our 2,100, there is some sense of proportion. And the second thing I think also is that you're seeing the president starting to find some sort of justification for having made a tough decision after having been in a bubble for maybe 2 or 3 years. And so maybe this is the part of the offensive, not just to get the poll numbers, but to try to get the support for the war. I think it's going to make some difference, actually.
All right, Nat, and we should note as
that we have that.
I think his poll numbers. I predict his poll numbers will go up for that.
All right, and we should note, Mary, that's what I was getting ready to say. We should note that we've already seen over the course of the last week and a half a slight bump in his numbers, but he had pretty much, to a great degree, we should note, hit rock bottom, so it was a little harder to go any lower. Nat, Jeff, and Mary, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.